Pray, Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to share your word today and prepare our hearts to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Favoritism, chapter 2 of James. If you're not there, you need to get there. We're going to do one verse at a time. While you're getting there, can you think of any place in the Bible where there was favoritism showed? I've thought of two as I was studying. There's surely probably more than just two, but there was just two that really kind of stood out to me that I remember. The first one I came across was in the New Testament, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, and they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? But what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now, Paul was referring to those that have not, they were poor. The rich and the poor got together, and the rich ate their rich food and didn't really want to share anything with the poor. They despised the poor, didn't want to give anything to them. And that's what Paul had to correct this, because it certainly shouldn't be in the church. Of all places, it should not be in the church, this sort of thing. Can anybody think of an Old Testament? I'm going to the Old Testament. Anywhere in the Old Testament where there was favoritism showed? There we go. That's exactly where I'm going. It was the life of Joseph. Oh, brother. It's not a good thing to show favoritism from one child over another. That's not good. Not good at all. Should never favor one child above another. Here's what happens when you do. Genesis chapter 37. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with him, the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zelphath, his father's wives, and Joseph brought on to his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Right there is a problem. That's going to be a problem. As parents, you cannot pick one child above another. It doesn't work. You're going to have problems. This family had problems. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now, the scripture goes on to tell us why, but that still wasn't a good reason for that to happen. We read a little further. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Does it say he made coats of colors for all the rest of the children? No. Just one. Big problem. When his brethren, that's his brothers, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Oh, boy, that's going to go over good. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Favoritism, showing respect of persons. Can't do it, should never do it. This family wasn't exempt from families today. Ordinary family. Israel, you made a big mistake picking Joseph over the rest. If you made him a coat of many colors, you probably should have made a coat of many colors for all the rest of the boys. But he didn't. Now we know that God causes good to come out of everything that happens. Scripture says, all things what? Work together for good. So even though we don't do quite the parental things we should do sometimes, God still makes good come out of it. Well, God made good come out of it. We know for certain. A lot of this could have been avoided if they just not showed favoritism. But we know that God used it to eventually get Joseph into a pit, and Joseph would end up in Egypt. And because of Joseph going to Egypt, he would also spare his family. So you know the story. God did make good come out of it. That's the wonderful God we serve, the testimony of the switch. That's the God we serve today. He is always looking out for our welfare and for our good because he loves you. All right, let's go back to James now. Book of James, all the way back to James. James chapter 2. James is practical. I like James. He's a practical man. He's just practical. The more I've read this, the more I love him. He reminds me of a country boy. He just is really simple and very clear to understand. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. We cannot determine the heart of a person in a first encounter. Actions are forbidden to Christians, especially when it comes to partiality, favoritism, shown another person on the basis of an encounter. According to that, we judge by outward appearance, but God judges what? By the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So we should never have partiality when we look at people. We're looking now at verse 2, for if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Let's suppose today two visitors arrive at St. Thomas, one in a new car and a raised and expensive clothing. Another man comes in an old jalopy and cheap clothing. If an usher favors the wealthy, he becomes partial. And it's said, a judge of evil thoughts. His evaluation was based on ungodly, worldly, natural standards. Verse 3, and you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, say to him, sit thou here in a good place. And it's interesting, they say to the poor, you can stand. Well, if you do have to sit, you can sit here at my feet, my footstool. Now, we know when Mary sat at Jesus' feet, that was a good thing. But James is quite talking something differently. He's talking about, you know, don't use a good seat, just sit on the floor. These seats here are for other people. And this is what James is talking about here. Should never show partiality, especially Christians should never do that. The wearing of many rings and fancy clothes is showing the one that's exquisite. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 6, I believe I did make a mark there. I'm going to go back and read what that has to say in regards to 23:6. I got all kinds of ribbons everywhere. Here we go. The Lord is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees that like to sit in Moses' seat. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. They lay on them men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love, here it is, verse 6, the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the markets to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. I Okay, back to James. Not to show partiality, and especially so in God's house and among Christians, should never show partiality to anyone. Try to share the same love toward each and every member. God has his remnant, and he has his remnant among all sorts of people. Among those that wear soft and gay clothing, and among those that wear poor and vile raiment. In fact, you'll find Jesus amongst those poor more often than the other way. He loved the poor. Remember, he said, the poor are with you always. Always be some poor people, except when we get heaven, the new home, there won't be no poor there. There is many a humble, heavenly, good Christian who are clothed meagerly, but neither should he nor his Christianity be thought the worse of on his account. Isn't that so true? Verse 4, you with me? Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts, unjust estimations, corrupt opinions, class distinction, catering to the wealthy, the fostering of pride, elevating oneself above others? How many are you familiar with the Titanic? You ever hear of the Titanic? Huh? What was the problem on the ship? Anybody, just talk to me. What else? No, not. There was a distinction in the Titanic. The rich and wealthy people had certain areas that was designated for them. Are you with me? The poor had certain areas that was designated for them, and that's where they were supposed to be. Are you still with me? That ship sank. That's what God thinks of that. No partiality, no favoritism. No partiality. That's a pretty vivid lesson, isn't it? Now, that's not all the reason that I think the ship sank. I think it's one of them. One of the biggest things when somebody said that God couldn't sink this ship. You see, they were at a time and their man was thinking they could just make something so great and so wonderful in that period of time that they thought they could just let God out. I mean, this ship is invincible. This is the best of the best of the ships. In other words, even man's best is God's worst. When man thinks he's got the best thing going, look out. God himself can't sink this ship. Now, I believe that not only did one man say that, I think there was many on that ship that thought God couldn't sink that ship. Be weary today. In America, the people are saying the same thing. When they've kicked God out. Well, you listen to me. What New York did with late-term abortion, you watch what happens to New York in the next year. I'm going to say just in the next year. You watch. Keep an eye on New York. Nobody spits in God's face and gets away with it. And when you have late-term abortion, you might as well spit in his face because he's the creator of life. Mark my words, what happens to New York in the next year? Keep an eye on New York. And you know what's sad? There's other states want to follow the same suit. I can't remember of living in a time that's more worse and evil than the days we're living in. Never did I think in my lifetime I'd see such corruption and evil. Just in a short period of time. My heart's broken for America, as yours should be. Of all places that class distinctions should be broken, let it come from the house of God. money, status, rank, apparel, race, political persuasion, Christian experience should mean nothing. It should mean nothing. Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Isn't that beautiful? It was completely contrary to the opinion held by most of the people in the New Testament days that God would love the poor. It wasn't until after the Holy Spirit came that they really understood that salvation is for everyone. God's not willing that any should perish. You see, in the sight of God, there's no difference between rich and poor, Jew or Gentile. The grace of God makes the rich man poor. And because he cannot depend on his wealth, it makes the poor man rich because he inherits the riches of Christ. Isn't that precious? That's what this verse is talking about. Ooh, we're made rich in the things of the Lord. There's a scripture reference there that I wrote, 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Wow. Verse 6, back to James. But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? In that day it was easy for the rich people to exploit the poor. They were involved in influencing decisions at the court and making themselves the richer. Sound like today? Huh? Does that sound familiar? God designed his plan not to have external advantages, but his plan is internal. Respecting persons is favoritism. It's an outward show owing to the worldly wealth and greatness. God promises a kingdom to those that love him, not to those who love this world and its riches. Verse 7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? The rich use oppression toward the poor for their failure to consider the poor as human beings whom God loves. God gets angry when poor people are misadvantaged and taken advantage of. And then verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. The royal law is the law of supreme excellence. The question is not who is my neighbor, but to whom can I be a neighbor? Did you catch that? It's not who is my neighbor. To whom can I be a neighbor? Anyone in need, whether they be friend or foe. This, you see, is the royal law, and Christians are a royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You can treat your neighbor in a godly way or in an ungodly way. Love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to have a steady regard to this rule. And if we do so, we shall do well. Verse 9. Got some little couple more minutes yet. Verse 9. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as being transgressors. Habitually having taken preferential treatment, we do this in return. Remember what the Lord said when it came time to invite somebody for a meal? Who did he say you should invite for a meal? Somebody that if you invite, they will return the favor and invite you back? Who did he say you should invite? You know, the poor. You see, they can't recompense you. They can't give it back to you. The Lord says, invite these people. Invite these people. They're the poor. They don't have enough money or food to invite you back. These are the kinds look and seek for. Find them and invite them to give them a meal. Those especially that can't return the favor. And you shall have riches in heaven. Find these to be a neighbor to. Finding those that can't return while shunning those who cannot. This is what the rich did. They shunned those who could not. The royal law rules all other laws. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And there certainly be no need for the thousands of complex laws in our society if each citizen truly loved his neighbors. I remember doing some painting for a local lawyer, maybe 25, 30 years ago. Painted his office. And he opened the door and said, Brother Roger, he says, look, take a look in this room. And that whole room was just full of law books. Full of law books. You know what I said to him? I looked at him and said, the Lord did it with just 10 commandments. Are you listening to me? That's what I told him. I said, the Lord did it with just 10 commandments. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? When you look into a room that's just full of law books. He did it with 10 commandments. Thousands and thousands of complex laws. If we really truly loved our neighbors as ourselves, what a difference it would make, wouldn't it? But time for one more verse. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one is guilty of all of it. You see, love enables us to obey the word of God and treat people as God commands us to do. And we obey his law, not out of fear, but out of love. Christian love means treating others the way that God has treated you and me. Are you happy with the way God's treated you? Then you treat others the same way. If you can't treat others the same way, just remember that the way you treat others, someday God can treat you the same way. Remember? He said, he who judges another shall also be what? Judged. That's why I'm trying to be careful not to judge anybody, because I got enough problems in my own life. You know, until I learn to clean my own porch, I certainly won't show up to clean your porch. I got my own porch to keep clean. There's enough things going on. That'd probably be a good place to stop right there, since that actually covers the subject of respect of persons. And favoritism, it goes on a little bit more, but not as much material about it. Our next chapter is going to deal with sound speech and the tongue. But we'll, Lord be willing, we'll finish from chapter 11 to the end of the chapter next Sunday, Lord be willing. When is, you're going to have the last Sunday of March, Wayne?
I think we're going to do it the last Sunday of March.
Okay. Okay, all right. Okay. Ooh. Anybody have anything to add or share? I got to tell you, I've enjoyed this study. I've always learned more as pastoring and having the time to study. As in college, it was more pressed for time. And really, when I had to study things, it was usually in a rush. And it was usually just to get a good grade on a test. And that never worked well for me. Because if I have to read something fast and I have to rush it through here, guess what? That's the way it goes. That's how it goes. You know? But when I have time to read it and to meditate upon it, you, Elroy, you know what I'm talking about. When you got the time to really, really digest it, it is worth so much more to me. It's so rewarding. Teachers are rewarded because you end up getting so much and you share so little. But we get a lot. And they just get a little portion of it. And I've gotten so much. It's so rich. It's so good. It's been good to me. And I've been really enjoying it. It's just really been a blessing. What a blessing it's been to me. I'm just so grateful the Lord has allowed me to be able to meditate and to have the time with it, because it's just precious. And you know, no matter how many times you've gone over to read it, it's interesting. God's word is special that way, that you can get so much more out of it. It's almost like you thought you had enough orange juice to begin with. Give that thing another squeeze and you still got some more in there. And it's the same way with God's word. It don't matter who reads it or how many times you study it. There's still more in there to get. There's still more there to get. When you thought you got it all, there's still some more there to get. Isn't God's word precious? It's wonderful. It's precious that way. I enjoy God's word so much. I get so much more out of it than I did when I used to just do one of these Bible roulette things. Oh, I shared with my class one evening that I used to do a lot of that Bible roulette stuff until I ended up too many times in the chronologies that she begat him and she begat her and he begat him. Oh, brother. I knew then that wasn't working out too well. So I stopped the Bible roulette thing and now I study it. I get so much more. It's time to go home. Let's all stand to be dismissed. Oh, it's been good. I've enjoyed being with you. Ask the Lord to just give you a wonderful and a great, great new week ahead. Heavenly Father, what a joy it's been, a pleasure today to share your word with your people. This is my family. Thank you, Lord, for this family. Watch over them this week. And Lord, we've heard testimonies. You've already watched over some of them. And I know that you've been watching over all of them. Thank you for your love, so much your love for us. It's just been precious. We thank you, Lord, and praise you because you've just been precious to us. And so times that I've certainly not been deserving of your love, but you still love me and you still cared for me. Thank you so much for your love. Lord, it's time to leave this place. Be with each and every one. As they go to their homes, I pray, Lord, bless them. Bless their going in and their going out in their homes. And I pray, Father, if they have any children that aren't serving you, I pray for them children today. Lord, I pray that you'll touch these children. Lord, I know that they were raised in Sunday school and they were brought to church. And now perhaps, Lord, they're out doing their own thing. But I pray, Lord, that you will bring them back. Bring them back to the fold, Lord, that they will get involved in the things of you, Lord, and have a desire to read your Bible and to pray. I pray, Lord, I pray for each and every family here that has children that aren't serving you today. I pray for these children, Lord, wherever they are. Speak to their hearts. Touch them, Lord, in a way, Lord, that will cause them to open your Bible and to read and to get back to where they need to be. They need to be back serving you. They need to serve you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Lord bless you.